So I'd like you to review some of the data. I really like the color of your slides. I thought you'd been hanging around people who have color changes too much from your patients, and that's why you came up with these really cool slide colors. Just kidding.
They were developed by my colleague Bob Doble. He's a kind of frustrated graphic designer in real life. Okay, so I was asked to talk about the management of ALK and ROS1 positive non-small cell lung cancer. The first question was, should all patients with ALK or ROS1 be started on crizotinib, or should select patients receive first-line chemotherapy or other therapies? So what's our data set? Well, the first-line facts are relatively sparse. That phase one study I referred to is Profile 1001, and in fact, 24 patients in there were treatment naive and were ALK positive and went on crizotinib, so 16% of that data set, and that's really what we're going to look at. The other profile studies, so 1005 and 107, were second or greater than or equal to second line. In fact, they're interesting enough, there were three protocol deviations in 1005 who actually were first line, but that's obviously too small to analyze. I'm going to show you the schema later for Profile 1014, which is actually the ongoing first-line randomized phase 3 study, and that will obviously give us the definitive answer. In terms of ROS1, well, the percentage is the same within that phase 1 study. 13% got it in the first-line setting, but the total number is only 2 patients, so we're not really going to get any information there. So let's look at those 24 patients. This is from the phase 1 study. If you look at the ringed box, this is the objective response rate. It ranged from 58 to 63%, no real difference by line of therapy. With the median PFS, there is a suggestion of a difference. In the first line setting, 18.3 months, very high. And for everything else, down at 9.2 months. But again, the numbers are small. If this was a randomized phase 2 study, you wouldn't believe that this was different. And if you look in the EGFR mutant literature, if you look in a large study by the Spanish group, the PFS, if you had an EGFR mutation and you got allotinib in the first or second line, was exactly the same. And that's what I suspect will happen with crizotinib and ALK, so I think these small numbers may just be a little bit misleading. So what are the approaches? Well, some people would say, well, you know, we're getting really into the molecular therapy. We want to give the best drug first, and there's a lot of logic to that. It's probably going to be the most effective at suppressing the disease, and we really want to stop turnover of the cancer. There are, however, certain legal barriers. In the US, the FDA license for crizotinib in ALK-positive disease doesn't care about line of therapy, so we have freedom there. But in Europe, the EMEA license was restricted to second line or beyond. So Dr. Perker doesn't have a choice. He's not able to give crizotinib in the first line setting outside of a clinical study. And for ROS1, now we all use this off-label if we find an abnormality, there's not a licensed indication anywhere. Rather pragmatically, you may say, well, I send off the testing, will I actually get it back in time for a first line decision? And in many cases, that's not true. And therefore, de facto, we end up using this in the second line or beyond. This is the schema for 1014, ALK FISH positive, first line crizotinib versus a platinum pemetrexed doublet, and that is yet to read out. Second question I was asked to address is, are there specific chemotherapy regimes that are more effective than others in patients with a known ALK rearrangement? Well, this was the first paper looking at the clinical natural history of ALK-positive patients, again led by Alice Shore at Mass General. If you look in the top curve, this is the median time to progression for an EGFR mutant population, ALK-positive population, or a double wild-type control group. The blue line is the EGFR mutants clearly doing better on allotinib, and the ALK performs the same essentially as a wild-type population with allotinib, not very well. In the lower panel, you can see that when we're talking about a first-line platinum doublet, the EGFR mutant, the ALK-positive disease, and the double wild-type control essentially look the same. Now, when I spoke to Alice, importantly, of the 13 ALK-positive patients in this study, none of them received a platinum pemetrexed doublet. And that's going to be important when I show you the rest of the data. Because in 2011, we started to get a series of retrospective analyses suggesting that pemetrexed may be different in ALK-positive patients. This was the first data. We looked at EGFR mutant patients, KRAS mutant patients, ALK positive, and a triple negative control. So now lung cancer has a triple negative, like breast cancer. To make this easy, if you look at the progression-free survival, the yellow line on the left is the median progression-free survival for the second-line single-agent pemetrexed registration study by Hanna et al. The orange line next to it is the median progression-free survival from the Scagliotti-CisGem first-line study. And you can see that most of the ALK patients are pushing out. The median is further out than both of those. Now, because this was a composite group, ALK is rare, as we've heard, you had to include patients who were first line, second line, combination therapy, not combination therapy. But in a multivariate analysis, being ALK positive, as we show in the red box here, stood out as being highly significantly associated with non-progression on pemetrexed with a hazard ratio of 0.36. And since then, there have probably been about four other retrospective series, most of them showing an association with pemetrexed sensitivity, at least one interesting one showing that if you just looked in never smokers who were ALK positive, that benefit may have been lost. But as a friend of mine said, you don't want to spend a lot of time saying that, you know, my favorite flawed retrospective study is better than your flawed retrospective study. So really, we had to have prospective data, and that's we go back to the Profile 1007 study. The control arm was docetaxel or pemetrexed, but when you broke it out, it was very interesting. We would expect these to be very similar in an adenocarcinoma population, which is the dominant histology for ALK. Yet the pemetrexed PFS was nearly double that of docetaxel, and if you look at the shape of the curves, the orange line is the pemetrexed. And if you get rid of about the 30% who are clearly deriving no benefit, then the pemetrexed PFS curve essentially parallels that of crizotinib, including the long tail of non-progressors. And if you look at the response rate, crizotinib does great, response rate of 63%, the composite chemotherapy control, 20%, but when you break it out, 30% response rate for pemetrexed, that's astonishing for a single agent in the second line setting, and the docetaxel is what you would expect. In fact, that is what you would expect for pemetrexed in adenocarcinoma. So really, there probably is something significant about ALK, although the true biology behind it we're still not clear about. The last thing I was asked to mention is almost a touch on what do you do when they progress is, are there other ALK inhibitors? Clearly, you have options of chemotherapy. Pemetrexed would be one option. You have options of radiotherapy if you have isolated oligoprogressive disease, as Dr. Haymack just mentioned. But there are new ALK inhibitors coming out. There are many of them. The ones you're going to hear most about are the LDK378. We've already seen data last year on crizotinib failures, and we're going to get updated analysis on probably over 100 patients at this year's ASCO. AP26113, we saw early data last year. There'll be more data coming out this year. Chugai's drug, which is now going to be the Genentech Roche drug, we've only mostly seen data in crizotinib-naive patients in a Japanese study, and that was recently published in The Lancet Oncology. But that's also one to watch. As mentioned, there are other drugs. HSP90 inhibitors may have some activity, but we've yet to see mature data in the crizotinib-resistant population. And we've said, you know, there are other things to look for, studies involving PD-1 and PD-L1 antagonists and pemetrexed-based studies. This, to give you the most recent data prior to this year's ASCO, this is LDK378. It had a, including unconfirmed responses, an 80% response rate in the crizotinib failure setting. This is sort of sit up and take notice. I wouldn't place too much emphasis on that 80% being more than the 60 to 65% with crizotinib. We know that EGFR mutants have a range of 60 to 80% response rate. It'll be interesting when we see this in nearly double the number of patients, whether that number settles down to something a little bit more reasonable. I think that's all I've got.